But Father, it is one necessary for us to understand the relationship between your people, the lost, and you and all of our relationships together. This, Father, is a perfect mirror of which we see our society today and how to handle your Son. Lord, I pray this, that you make us humble, Lord, and open our eyes and ears. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In chapter 7, and we've skipped a few things along the way, some of them things that we've covered quite recently as a part of other sermons, some that we've glanced by, some that have been topics that we've covered already. So everything very easy to understand, the healing of the child that was possessed by the devil. We don't know if he's a child, but he had that demon since he was a child, and a few other things that we've covered on a regular basis. And this would be the next part where we've hit fresh dirt, so to say. Chapter 7, the first few verses here, talks about going to the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to skim by this real quick. The reason why the Lord did not want to go to the feast, and by the way, he didn't want to go to the feast, not that he didn't want to go, but the reason why he wasn't going to go with his disciples was because everybody in that area sought to kill him. The Bible says in this passage that even his own family didn't quite believe him yet. And there was issues with those people. It wasn't quite his time yet to be put upon the cross. You have to remember, our will was always what it was. Our nature was always what it was, to put an end to the things he has to say. And that has not changed today. You get to talking about God, you get to talking about doctrine, you get to talking about the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots, and it bothers people. Again, we can talk about perfectly imaginary things, and people can have civil discourse of it. We can talk about historical things, terrible things going one way or the other, and people can have general, normal conversations about it. You get to talking about what God says is right and what God says is wrong, and people lose their minds. It's a joke. Just the kind of frustrations that we see out there today. Well, the Bible says it's male or female. The Bible says don't take things that don't belong to you. The Bible says that these are the responsibilities within the home. And you just kind of see people's eyes open all the way up and blood shoot through them. You know what I mean? They get angry and irritated at these things. Our will and our nature has always been the same, to despise what God has to say. So Jesus walking around saying the things that he did, they wanted to kill him. The thing was that it wasn't his turn yet. And if anybody understands the nature of man, it's Jesus Christ. So he plans, he goes, I'm not going with you yet. And he sends the disciples on without them. And of course, the purpose there was, as they would see the disciples and him not there, they would say, aha, he didn't show up. But he did. Verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others say, nay, but he deceiveth the people. And my friends, we're still having this conversation. This feast time conversation never ended. Where you get some people, Jesus Christ, what do you think about him? And there's many people in society today, they say, Jesus Christ, we love him. He's good. He did good things. Even among the Muslims, they would say he was a prophet. He was a good prophet. It's just his followers are really confused. But there's many that would say he is good. And there's many others that would say, well, he lied. He's lying to us. But you have to remember, they're not just saying he lied because they had scientific know-how and knowledge of the creation of the universe. They're not saying that he lied because of any other reason than because he said things they didn't like. Well, brother, how do you know that? I point you to the temples that they would have to these gods that they would do terribly debauched things in front of. Everybody knew who built those statues. Everybody knew those statues weren't true. They weren't actual things that came to life at night. They were just outlets for them to do the things their flesh desired to do. And they had no problem with that. So many in that congregation would have sat there, not maybe this one among the Jews, but there's many people of that society of the day would have thought, yes, this is wrong, but it's fine. It makes sense to me. You know, I have that same problem with a few holidays we've got. You know, for some of the holidays that we, well, you go out there and this person's got their head ripped off and this person's bleeding all over the place. It's getting to that point of time where you don't want to take anybody under the age of 5 into the grocery store. mutilated hands and bodies all over the place. And we go, well, yeah, but candy. I know I'm on the outs. I know I'm on the outs where a lot of people stand on this, but that will always forever bother me. Well, you can't prove it's got pagan origins. I don't need it to have pagan origins. I don't need it to in order for me to look around and say, maybe I shouldn't bring my... Hey, listen, if I took my child to an R-rated slasher movie, blood and guts and hands all over the place, you'd look at me and you'd say, you are a bad father. But if my child got free candy, societally, I'm a good person. That always bothers me. You know, so I put my foot on that from time to time. But we have to point out that they weren't calling him a liar because they disagreed with him. They did the same things we do today. They do the debauched things. They do the weird things. And they said, well, that guy's a liar. Why? Because he told you can't do the things you want to do. That was their beef with him. That was their problem. Is you're permitting things that you're telling us that we're not permitted to do things that we want to do. So that anger was there. So you will have those, Jesus, he's a good guy. You'll have those, Jesus, he's a bad guy, and he's a liar, and he's deceiving the people. Now, of course, if you've got people really being healed, and you've got people to the extent of the healings that Jesus was doing, you got to ask yourself how that's happening if he's such a big liar. If we're walking past somebody who's been lame since the day they were born, and everybody in the neighborhood knows them, and everybody knows who they are, they're the neighborhood person who sits on the corner, right? They know who he is. One day he's up and walking around. You got to try to figure that out. That's what, a 20 to 40 year long con you just pulled? Just to get people to believe what? So again, there's going to be some people that say that he is good. There are going to be people that say that he is bad. Verse 12, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. And I just read that, sorry. Verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So how they were talking is they're kind of just kind of one or two people over here, back of the hand conversation. Why? Because they were nervous of retribution. It's the same reason why many of us do not talk about the Lord in public. We fear the sinners. We fear the people saying things evil about us, or people seeing us as judgmental or rude or mean. The bottom line is, I believe what I believe without prejudice. I believe what I believe without hatred. I believe that people who live lives contrary to the scriptures are lost and stuck in the same way I was lost and stuck, and the same way you were lost and stuck. And there's nothing but love, pity, and empathy for people in that position and in those beliefs. I believe wholeheartedly that their feelings concerning their beliefs are real to them. Well, this makes me happy. I believe it does make you happy. And my goodness, you drop me off at the ice cream store with $20. I'll be incredibly happy. My doctor, not so much. My blood sugar monitor will have a few things to say. But I would be as happy as a moth at a candlelit vigil, I promise you. I believe they're happy. Not happy as we would call being happy, but happy for the moment. Happy with what they have, but that happiness is tied in a thing. You take the thing away, the happiness goes away. That's the great thing about being happy as a Christian. You take stuff away from us, the happy don't go nowhere. All right? If your happiness is bound up in situations and things that you have, prepare to be disappointed, because nothing in this world lasts forever. You need happiness found bound up in God, then those things will be better. But they were terrified to speak of him because they didn't want to start a fight. And that should sound very familiar to us. Scared to start a conversation because we don't want a fight. We don't want anybody to come after us. We don't want anybody to look down on us. What we have to remember is this, is that we're not... In doing that, it's just cowardice. Doing that is cowardice. If we were to see somebody was in mortal peril, it would, in this day and age, it would immediately flash to the mind, if I go help them, they could sue me. Oh, I've sat and I've watched all the videos. Hey, listen, if you ever are called to somebody's apartment and they fall over, don't help them. they could sue you. I had a hard time with that. Because if somebody's in pain or somebody's hurt, I would much rather relieve that than watch them suffer while I called police. Now, if there was something that, you know, I look at that, you said, oh, you need to sit right where you are. That makes sense to me, you know. The whole thing where if you're injured enough, don't move them. I hear you on that, but don't help them. And somebody told me one time, they said, hey, listen, because they were coming down off of a stoop, and they had one of those walkers, and they were having a hard time getting down. And I said, listen, let me bring your walker down, and then you can have my arm and lower yourself down. And one of my bosses told me, Matt, they will sue you for every penny you have. And I said, good, we'll flip the couch and I'll help them look. They're scared. If I give the gospel, if I help somebody, it could go bad for me socially. If I start talking about God as much as I love God, it would go bad for me in public. There will be people that would roll their eyes. There would be people that would think less of me. Let them think less. They are dying and going to hell. Are you really going to sit there and say nothing? Because you're afraid of what they might think about you for the next 40 to 50 years of their lives. Or would you much rather take the risk of their ire and love God anyway and give them the gospel? There's a right answer there. It's an uncomfortable answer, but there's a right answer there. It is not about growing the church numerically. It is about doing our duties to God and telling others. It is about being as empathetic as possible. Well, if you were empathetic, you wouldn't make people feel uncomfortable by telling them that. It is the truth. It is a lifeline, and I'll throw it. And I'll do it with love. And I'll give them dignity while I do it. I'll treat them with honor and respect. But there's no room for people who are afraid to talk of the God that saved them. We all get nervous. Well, it's easy for you. I don't know who told you that, but they lied. I've never met a single person. I've talked to preachers who've gone out and knocked out thousands of doors. I've talked to people who are renowned for having big church. Hey, is this easy for you? No, it's not easy for me. Never met anybody who said it is easy for me to go out and start conversations and give them the gospel. Therefore, we don't have much of an excuse. It doesn't have to be easy for us to do it, does it? Of all the things that God has done for us, none of them would be considered easy. So why would we start limiting God to our participation to only the things that we find easy? We need to talk even though people don't want us to talk. They need us to. They need us to. Verse 14, Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Remember, he sent his disciples ahead. Because I'm not going there yet. I'm not going with you yet. Sent them. Everybody goes, hey, there's the disciples. Where is he? While they're talking, he comes in secretly. Verse 15. Sorry, I want to focus on 14 for a second. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. While everybody's there, he comes up. And he speaks. And they're confused. We thought he wasn't here. I thought you said Jesus didn't come. Well, the disciples came in and he wasn't there. Well, when did he come in? We don't know. He gets up and he starts teaching them. Because of all the things that he came to do, that was one of them. He came to teach. And he came to show the other people. Why? Because that was the purpose of his coming. To save souls. Not just to die on the cross, no, but he gave the gospel. He preached. He did the job the pastor of the first church ought to do. He taught. Verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned. You have to remember why he was so unpopular among his people. There are places I know some pastors don't like to go because that's where they grew up. I've often thought about this. I don't think I could ever go back and pastor Flat Rock. I don't think I ever could. They know me there. You know what I mean? They don't just know me. They knew little me. And there is something, and you guys know what it is. You've seen people grow up, leave, go to other churches, right? When Tyler comes back, things like that. We know them back when they were picking boogers in the last pew. And it is hard to see them as adults. And that's why I'd say I'd have a hard time going back to Flat Rock and being the pastor there, seeing as so many of them kind of stepped in and were 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th parents. You know what I mean? Not that there's anything wrong with my first ones. I just had a lot of them. You know what I mean? That's what I say about my growing up in church experience. I didn't need a new mom and dad. I just happened to have 20 more of them. And it was good. But I'd have a hard time with that. So when Jesus comes back and he's teaching, now wait a minute, that is the carpenter's son. What does the carpenter's son know about anything we're doing here? Well, how does he know about letters? He never went to school to learn to be a scribe. How would he be able to read these things? How would he know these things? Right? What time would he have to sit around and learn more abundantly than the rest of us with full-time jobs? Now, they're sitting there at the Feast of the Tabernacles. They didn't have the time to grow and learn and study the way a scribe or somebody in the ministry would learn how to do. So how does he know? And of course, despite the fact that there he is knowing it, they kind of want to pull away. And by the way, that's our nature, to kind of start pulling away. Well, all right, hey, listen, here's the gospel. Yeah, but what about the book of Revelation? It's in the back of the book. Now, about the gospel. Yeah, but what does it mean? Pretty much what it says, but I don't exactly know what it means. You know, there's a lot of what does it mean that the angels look like this? It means when you look at them, that's what you're going to see. Wasn't that weird? Absolutely, but you ain't going to have to worry about it if you don't focus on the gospel first. We've got classes at church you can sit through. We'll take you through them, man. We will teach you all you ever want to learn about the Bible. But ain't none of it going to help you unless you listen to the teaching. This is why things need to be the way they are in our homes and in our churches. Yeah, but what about, you know, focus. Focus. Our sin nature is the wildest case of ADHD anybody has ever seen. The moment you set your eyes on what you're supposed to, your flesh wants anything else but. That's why you have such a hard time on your diets. That's why you find yourself spiritually like Paul. The things that I would do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, I do. That's your sin nature pulling you in the wrong direction every time. It's like having a dog too big chasing a squirrel and you're trying to walk the dog and it just takes off. You ever have a dog that big? I tried to walk three dogs one time. We had three dogs. A Siberian Husky, Rhodesian Ridgeback Mix, and a German Shepherd. They got distracted one day. I came off the curb. I didn't fall, but caught me. Big, strong monsters, right? I'm sitting there the next 2 days going like this, you know, just is going like this. Monstrous things. That's the way our nature is. We shudder to hear the truth. We fear to do things that we know we ought to do, and it don't make no sense to us. Why is it that it gives me such a vile time? Why is it that I have such a hard time paying attention? As your body going, I don't want to hear what he has to say. I don't want to. Man, you'll see that happen in church every now and then. Somebody will come in, and you got the person who wants to be there and the person who doesn't want to be there. And you look over, and it really just depends. You know, you get a visitor of four or five, you'll probably have four people who want to be there, one person who doesn't. Sometimes it's spouses. There's the spouse whose idea it was to go to church and the spouse who's just trying to get the other one to shut up. And oftentimes it's the man. Oftentimes it's the man. And you could just tell, man, they're down, they pull their phone out, toying around like this, get to talking about stuff. Oh, They catch what time it is because they came here and it's 10 after 12. What is this guy's problem? And you just feel the attitude radiating off of them. Why do we get into those kind of funks? Because of that nature. That nature. Man, there's a lot of things I don't believe that I could hear people talk about and I wouldn't have that reaction. You want to know why? Because I don't think it's real. Really, if you sat down with a Democrat and they went on how they were going to do this, it wouldn't irritate you? I'd hate everything they'd have to say, but I'd be a grown-up sitting there. Well, mostly a grown-up sitting there. I don't think I'd feel the agitation. I don't think I'd feel the overwhelming hatred that a lot of people do when you bring them into church or when you talk about godly things. That thing only the sin nature can bring about towards the things of God. But he teaches them, and they marvel, how does he know these words? How does he know the letters? Having never learned, Jesus in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The thing that he brings up here is this. These things I have, these things I give you, belong to the Father. These are not things I've invented. I am not a man come to earth with my own creation, with my own creativity. These are of the Father who sent me. And who does he reference? He references Moses. Moses came and he brought you the law. And then Jesus did that thing he always kind of does. I firmly believe this, that if Jesus were to come to churches today and preach the way that he preached then, nobody'd want him to come. A lot of churches today, I think, would have a hard time wanting him to come. Because he'd preach like that. Could you imagine if I got up here and I said, hey, listen, we're going to go over to this passage of Scripture and we're going to preach on this doctrine because I know none of you are doing it. That would be a rough day for me. I'd be sitting up here watching angry faces all day. But that's what he was doing there. See, now Moses, you guys love Moses. You venerate Moses. I can almost imagine some of the people at the name of Moses put their hand over their heart for a second. You know what I mean? Oh, Moses, yes. Moses, who brought you the law? Yes, the law. The law. We love the law. Who you don't follow? Hey, that's not nice. Sometimes preaching ain't nice. And Jesus was okay with not being nice because, you know, a pastor gets up and he says something like that. He doesn't know the people's heart. He needs to be careful. A pastor's a man. He doesn't see what Jesus sees. He doesn't get to stand up and say, none of you are following this, because he doesn't know. But when the Lord does it, he does it because he knows. And that would have stung harder, in my opinion. Because I tell you what, you can forgive people for wrong. It's harder to forgive people for being right. Harder to forgive people for being right. And he comes in and he says, you're not even following the law. And there's been many times where he's butted up against the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, just bumping heads with them. And he's called them out on their false doctrine, called them out for their false ideas and the way they've added things into the Judaic practices and the way that they've taken out other things or disrespected other things. He called them out on it. We've read so much of how he called them out on it. So he knew, you're not following. Verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Now here's the thing. Why didn't Jesus want to go into this area? Because they wanted to kill him. And as a matter of fact, so often we see that where they were irritated. They were agitated. You had the Pharisees out there trying to foam up the congregations and foam up the people, and trying to get close to the people who'd made professions of faith. They were actively doing things to bring Jesus down. There was open talk of how they wanted to kill him. And I tell you what, this tells you another thing, all you need to know about a liberal society. We often said it about the what we see today. You know they're lying. Because typically the things that they say they would never do are the things they're doing. Who said we're... Who's trying to kill you? You are. Because you don't like what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying is true. One of the things we have to remember, one of the greatest weapons that the devil has ever used is this. Knowledge of Scripture belongs to the hierarchy. And we talked about this last weekend. Only the higher-ups get to know this religion. And then you get what we give you. We explain it to you because you're simple. Oh, you're so silly and simple. We'll explain it to you. And that gives them the right to say whatever they want to say and teach whatever they want to teach. And the common person, knowing not the letters and not having a copy of the word themselves, have nothing to do but to follow along with those people. So there we are. We see Jesus coming through, educating them and teaching them and spending vast quantities of time teaching the people. And do you understand how that would upset the Pharisees who were making things up? And do you understand how that would upset the religious rulers who now saw a change in the wind and saw people leaving and saw people coming away? Do you see how that would bother them? They were ready to kill him. They were ready to kill him. And yet there they sat pretending. We would never do that. Never. Hey, all we want is a more open definition of marriage. Yeah, but wouldn't that lead to people marrying toasters and whatnot? No. Look it up. All we want is more acceptance of alternative lifestyles. I think you'll come for the children. No. And now here we are. You are a bigot and a hateful monster if you do not take your small child, or if you object to taking your small child to grown men who dress as provocative women and leave them there. You are a vile-minded, hateful person if you don't do that. I mean, again, listening to some of these old sermons and hearing the things the preachers warned about, and I could hear so many people from that generation, the next one on, that would never happen. Here we are. Well, you know, they had some silly ideas about this and that. Maybe. But it's just funny how society is sailing right towards what they warned us about. We would never. You know, hey, listen, I don't think you should play that kind of music in churches. Well, why? I think it leads to a certain kind of worldliness. And we don't want worldliness in worship. That would never happen. You see, the Bible says all kinds of instruments and all kinds of music. I agree with you, but there are certain patterns of behavior that the Bible says don't do, and they're doing those things, and you should. We got vain repetitions all over in that thing. You've got stuff where it's more about the music than it is about the worship. It's more of an entertainment than it is anything else. We got to be careful bringing that into the church. We might end up with rock concerts right there in the church. No. That's what we got. Started off with just people with worldly lifestyles pretending to be Christian because they couldn't hack it in the real rock and roll industry. So they slap a Christian name upon themselves and go out where people would find them popular. And we bring them into the church. And we sit there and we listen to their meat sacrifice to idols for long enough. And all of a sudden we get looser and looser and looser about it. And before you know it, we got something like we had last year. I think it was the week before the conference down in Tennessee, down in Clarksville. They announced there was a great big Bible conference, and if you could see my words, you'd see I put little asterisks around the word Bible. Had a get-together of church people, and you had one guy get up and give a demonstration from back when he used to be a male dancer. Please be liberal with the word dancer. In church, in a Bible conference. I said, well, that's okay, because the next preacher that got up, he got up and he said that that was a very terrible thing for him to do. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Any pastor, preacher, or man of God who stays in that room long enough for that heathen to be done ain't worth to get up in the pulpit. Well, he turned his eyes. Well, he left the room. Well, he was back in the green room. He didn't come out yet. The moment you find out about it, you get out of there. That would never happen. Look what's happening! If we stop holding the teaching of the Bible higher than anything else the church does, I mean, if we fail to keep it the center of everything we do, terrible things will happen. And look what we did. We started distracting children instead of teaching them. And then there was other churches that pretended they didn't exist until they left. What's that? You want to get together with some of your friends here at the church? No, that's what the movie theater's for. What's that? You want to learn, but you're having a hard time keeping up with the adults? Deal with it. But don't you dare peep. Don't you dare make a noise. So we either over-entertained them or we pretended they weren't there. And then guess what eventually happens? They leave. They leave. That'd be like me inviting you over for a barbecue. I don't serve any food. I bring you into the house of God to feed you. I don't feed you. Come over here, look at my bounce house, look at my bowling alley. Hey, come on over here, listen to the rock show. But don't you dare learn anything of solid importance. Hey, come into our church. I want you to sing, but I don't want to hear you. I want you to sit in these pews. I don't want to know you're there. When we're done, you go. No adult should ever see you. Go. And then they turn 18 and they... And we go, well, where'd they go? Well, you ignored them for so long, they disappeared. That's what happens. You ignore, you never built them, you never showed them anything, you never taught them anything, you never fed them anything. So they left. And we see in these two evils exactly what's wrong with so many churches today. We've either given them candy or we've starved them. Yeah, we sit here and we see our kids here today. I'm grateful for them. We got some good kids. They're not perfectly quiet kids, but they're some good kids. They're listening. They're paying attention. But they must be fed gradually. They must be taught properly. You know, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we do the things we do. It is necessary. But the first and foremost thing we do must be to keep to the Word. Otherwise, we will fall. We will fall and become like these. Who would do that? You're doing it now. You're thinking about it. Like the plot to kill Jesus was already, the fires were already started for that. They just needed the opportunity. Well, who would stop preaching Jesus? I don't know, man. For a while there, if you're asked to pray in a public governmental setting, you're asked not to say his, yes, in Jesus' name I pray. Remember that at Flat Rock about our senior year? There was somebody who was asked to pray for a memorial service, and they were specifically told not to pray in Jesus' name. You go to Congress, it's the same way. Back when they had people, I don't know if they're still doing it now, back when they used to have people open things up in prayer. Don't you pray in Jesus' name. That's offensive. That's mean. People don't like that. But we would never want to kick Jesus out. We would never pass a law restricting religious practice. Oh, but we are. We would never do anything to endanger somebody's First Amendment right. We would never take away free speech. No, you would just take away hate speech and be real liberal about what it is. You look over in the UK, you look over in Canada, that's what it is. Scotland, I think it is. Scotland or Ireland, one of the two. Somewhere over there in the UK, they passed that to where you could call 911. If you say some of the things I say from this pulpit about what's sin and what's not, you call 911 on that person. Now they don't use 911, but follow me. You could call the police on somebody for doing that. And there they are, probably trying to find some lost child, or there they are trying to stop people from speeding down the roadway. And because your pastor said that homosexuality is a sin, you can call, and they're going to stop that, and they're going to go talk to him. And I don't know if it's a ticket or if it's jail time or what, but man, crazy. What they say, oh, we would never. They do. There's something wrong with you if you think that. No, I can just see what's going on the other hand while you're distracting me with this one. That's all it is. You're just not that good a magician. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, a reminder they needed to hear. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Right? You following me? He gave you the law of circumcision. He gave you circumcision because God gave it to him, and you'll circumcise on the Sabbath day. Verse 15, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Again, calling out their hypocrisy, calling out their backwardsness. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And folks, that is where so many of us get into trouble today. We judge on the appearance of a thing. We never actually look to see what it is. When we see that, well, don't you understand how that'd be a problem? No, they don't understand how that could be a problem. Because they don't see the things for how they are. I heard somebody go on a rant. First female president. We're going to have the first female president. I cannot believe we're going to have the first female president in my lifetime. I never thought I'd live to see the day. Could you know anything about her policies? Do you know anything about her history and her past? Do you know anything about her previous career as an attorney? Do you even know what she's been doing these last 4 years? No. But hey, she's the first female president. Well, if that's the case, let's just have a popularity contest. Who's the most like a woman? We play that game, we might end up with a man. Hey, I'm just saying, if we can call Caitlyn Jenner man of the year, if we can call Bruce Jenner woman of the year, you know what I mean? Only imagine what we're going to do next. Let's go ahead and do that. You know, you want a woman president? Why not we find somebody with a good background? Oh, no. We're just going to look at it for what it looks like. This is back when we got Obama. We're going to have our first black president. That's amazing. Yeah, but what do you know about him? Nothing. But you do know that there are many people of that particular persuasion with fantastic backgrounds. Yeah, but this one's spoon-fed to us. We do that with doctrines. Oh, did you see down here at these Reformed conferences? They've got thousands of people that show up. And they pay money to come. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know. What's their doctrine like? Can you prove it? Do you know what they're saying? Do you know what it's about? Well, no, but it must be something. Remember that passage of Scripture that says, narrow is straight as the broad? No. We got to look at for things as they are. Righteous judgment. Good judgment. What does God say? What does the Bible say? Not what do we feel. Not what do we want. Not what hits us at first glance. But what is true. And what's real. Based according on what God has to say. Verse 25. Then said some of them to Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Below he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? And that's, again, he's bringing up good points. And that sin nature distraction kicks in. Aren't they looking to kill him? I mean, don't you hate it when you make a really good point and somebody changes the subject? When you're trying to convince somebody of something, That's red. No, I think it's blue. That's red. I think it's blue. Well, you see how that's red? Yeah. And that's red? Yeah. See how those are the same color? You know what? Where would we even buy one of those? Well, you just focus. Hey, listen, here's where you are theologically incorrect. Here's where you've messed up. Aren't they trying to kill him? And yet nobody's coming to get him. Now, they do have a good point here. Maybe they know he is the Christ, and that's why they're not coming after him. What we see here is a group of people who are using grand speculation instead of actually paying attention to what God has to say. These are the same kind of people that would hear their pastor preach the Bible and preach the Bible accurately day in and day out. But the moment some internet preacher or the moment somebody they saw in a conference somewhere says the same thing, they go, I've never heard that before. That sounds really good. I think that might be true. Hey, pastor, I saw this weekend. What do you think? And the pastor goes, well, yes, that's very accurate, very true. I'll tell you what that pastor is doing on the inside. He's throwing his hands up in exasperation. Or you sit there and you preach the truth and you use multiple passages of Scripture and somebody will come back with a falsity. And they'll say, yeah, but this guy, everybody amened when he said this. I go, yeah, but he said it, not the Bible. The Bible says the opposite. I don't know. He went to this college. What college did you go to? And again, we go back to what Jesus keeps repeating. It's not me, it's this. It's not me, it's the Word of God. It's not me, it's God. And this is the passage, and this is where he said it. I don't know. Maybe he's right. Maybe. Using logic incorrectly. You know what I'm saying? If the Son of God comes and he's performing miracles and he's preaching in things that he's never been educated in and he can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is who he says he is, you don't need the fact that the government's not coming to get him to prove that he is who he says he is. I've met a lot of charlatans who pretended they could heal. I've met a lot of people who pretended that they knew stuff that they didn't. I've never actually known somebody who showed up the way Jesus did, knowing things he couldn't know and doing things no man can do. Again, we see a perfect reflection of the conversation of the Lord today. Well, you know, teaching of Jesus Christ has been around for a while, so maybe it's true. Why don't you just follow him for a little bit? You'll find out. He's left plenty enough information for you to follow. Why don't you give it a shot? Verse 27, howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Again, the debate. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Well, see, here's the thing. We know where Jesus is going. We know where the Christ is going to come from. We don't know where this guy comes from. We go, you know who I am. You know where I came from. Because he'd noised it abroad. Everybody knew. Even the sheep in the field on the night he was born knew where he came from. And even on a more literal sense, you know who I am. I'm Mary's son. Joseph, I was raised by Joseph. I was taught as a carpenter. I apprenticed underneath my father. I learned the family trade. You've heard of me as I go around this world, I go around this country, healing and teaching and performing miracles. I am a paradox in your brain. You don't know how I learned what I know. You don't know how I can do what I do, but you're so apt to not believe me that you're willing to deny all those things exist, even though they stare you right in the face. I wonder how many people were there at the Feast of Tabernacles that the Lord had healed. That would make it beyond a shadow of a doubt easy to understand who he was. And yet they pretend like they don't, like we see today. Where they ask a Christian, why are you the way you are? Man, you already know. Why is it that that goes on for you and it doesn't go on for me? You already know. You're just unwilling. Unwilling to believe. So easy to reject and deny. when we are accused of denying God, when we are accused or told by the Bible that we reject Him, and that is why we deserve hell. It is every bit true. Well, the doctrine of election says, I just didn't get chosen. No, you rejected Him. That's the bottom line. As we all would have. It is not that you were left out. It's that we willfully rejected Christ. That is the plight of the lost sinner. To reject Christ altogether. And these people who claim to know God, who claim to love God, who claim to be serving God. Christ tells them right here, you don't even know Him. You don't even know Him. Breaks my heart when you see that today. When you see people speaking on behalf of God and claiming they know something concerning God. But they don't know. There's an organization down in Flint, nice franchise church down there. And they put out on advertisements, you know, little pop-up advertisements that come up. They put that out there, and they used a passage of Scripture. I believe it was out of Micah. I didn't save the ad, forgive me. But the passage of Scripture that they saved was a promise that God was going to come, and it was right after a promise that God was going to come and judge the people for their wrongdoing. So He tells them, do right, and something along the lines of being compassionate. So these people, they took that and they twisted it, and they say, we want everybody, gay, straight, white, black, old, young. We want everybody, because this verse clearly says don't discriminate. If they only knew the God Micah talked about, they would close up shop and run into the hills for what they put out there. If they knew the God down there at these temples, and they knew the God down here at these cathedrals, and they knew the God that they claimed that they knew, they would be terrified at the blasphemies they've spoken about Him. Because our God is a righteous God. Our God is a jealous God. And we need to serve Him as He is. We need to see Jesus the way God tells us about Him. We need to see church the way God tells us about it. Not in our creativity, not in our wants, not in our wills, but as He is. We can't know a God we created. That's an imaginary friend. I got in trouble at work for doing that. People were kind of going around and God is somebody who's like this. In my mind, God is somebody who's more like this. And kind of sitting there and I go, well, God's not like that. Well, your version of God. I go, no. If you've got a version of God and you've got a version of God and I got a version of God, and you don't want to, you're allowed to have that version of God and you're allowed to have that version of God, but I'm not allowed to tell you that's not the way He is. These are imaginary friends. These are not God. I know my God based on what He says in the book. And I don't get to add stuff to Him, and I don't get to take away stuff that I don't like. He is who He is. And you know, we come across things where the Lord deals harshly. Well, he just took out Achan's whole... He just took out everybody in Achan's family. What? How do you preach that? Don't irritate God. If God says don't. That's the way I take it. You know what I mean? If I drive 180 miles an hour down the road, and I spin out and I crash, would that surprise you? If it surprised you, you're not. If it would surprise you, you're not old enough to drive. If God says don't do this, or I will punish you, and you go and do it, you can't go when He punishes you. Does that make sense? There was got all over the news, people getting all mad. Well, somebody got arrested for having an abortion. Was it illegal to have an abortion there? Yes, it was. Did they have one? Yes. And then they got arrested for it? Yeah, can you believe that? As a matter of fact, I can. You tell me I could go to jail for doing a thing, I don't get to sit there and go, Oh, I can't believe you did the thing. We need to know God for who he is. And by the way, a slap on the wrist, a few weekends in jail, a couple years in jail, a couple decades in jail ain't nothing compared to what God has in store for those that reject him. There'll be people in hell who will long for their life sentences in prison back. We need to not reject God. We need to not fool around with his religion. We need to honor him as he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you always find us serious about your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to have righteous judgment. Lord, to look at things the way you put them, and Lord, to see this world through the light of your word. Help us, Lord, not to get arrogant, Lord, forgetful. But Father, always honoring you. You are worthy of honor and respect. Lord, so often we speak of your love and your goodness. But Lord, let us never, never forget the high cost that comes with insulting you. Lord, I pray that you find us obedient. Lord, you help us be stronger. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.